Welcome to the Mozilla Digital Memory Bank Podcast, a production of the Center for History and New Media.
I'm Ken Albers, and this week we will hear excerpts from an oral history interview with Firefox co-founder Blake Ross that Olivia Ryan and I recorded in June of 2006. Being part of the motivating force behind the creation of Firefox, Blake had some interesting comments about the production process of open source software.
Well, with Firefox, the model was a little bit different. It was a much smaller team working on a fork of the code base. It was small intentionally because we saw a lot of problems with that large group model. And so it was, you know, a handful of people. And so at that level, there's not really strict module owner division. It's basically just the Firefox team. And we all kind of had authority over the entire Firefox user interface.
Mm-hmm. So early on in the development of Firefox, I understand like the UI development was restricted to sort of a small team
yeah.
of people.
Yeah.
So why was that done?
That was done because we found pretty quickly, as most other projects have, that UI designed by committee just does not work very well. So it was especially bad in the old Mozilla world because you had UI designed by committee, and there were two different committees. There was the Netscape committee with their own set of motivations, especially, you know, how do we make money off of the Netscape browser? And there was the Mozilla committee, which, you know, is not really interested in turning a profit. And so you had all these different factors and motivations weighing in on the process, and it was a real mess. So with Firefox, we said we're going to fork the code base, give control to a very small group of people who we think really have the end user's best interests at heart, and see what they do.
Was it difficult sometimes to strike that balance between working on an open project and trying to keep end users
yes.
in mind?
Yes. Everybody hated us for a long time. They still might. Yeah, I mean, one of the major problems was that in an open source community run by programmers, everything is really based on numbers and logic and fact, right? That's just the world that developers live in. And so in the old world, if a bug had, for example, 700 votes, that was considered a lot, and the bug should be fixed because the community wants it fixed and the community controls the project. And with Firefox, because we were targeting a much broader mainstream audience who wasn't going to voice their opinion to us in the bug tracking database, we had to go by basically intuition a lot. So we would often resolve bugs as won't fix, you know, essentially we're not going to fix this bug because we don't think it's a good fit for mom or dad, or implement this feature because we don't think it's a good fit for mom and dad. And the only statistics or the only basis for those kinds of decisions was our own kind of intuition, and that does not go over well in a community that's used to really just having strength in their own numbers.
When we spoke with Blake, he had already begun working on his new project, Parakeet, and he offered some insight into what it's like to start your own company.
Totally different. It's yeah. totally different. I mean, people think, oh, you know, you already helped with Firefox, so another startup should be just, you know, going through the same old steps again, and it's entirely different. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, you have to put together a pitch, you have to go out, you have to raise money, you have to make money, obviously, which obviously that Firefox is doing now, but that wasn't one of the original intents behind it. So mm-hmm. it's a very different process. I mean, one of the things that bothers me actually is when I see the press say that, you know, the Firefox team is 5 or 6 people, because you have to understand that the Firefox team is built on top of the Mozilla team, which is many, 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 many people. And when you go off on your own and try to do your own project, and on this project, I have only one other partner, you really start to realize just how valuable all those other contributions really are, and all that support that you had working on Mozilla. You know, there's just two of us right now. So
later, Blake discussed some of the problems he sees in the open source model and offered some solutions to help it move forward.
I hope that it demonstrates that an open source project can actually do marketing and can actually reach the mainstream. I think that Firefox is probably the first real open source product that might actually be on mom's desktop, for example. And unfortunately, I don't know how it's going to impact other open source projects, because it seems to me that the problem with many open source projects hasn't been a fear of marketing, it's actually been a kind of a a disgust for marketing and a disgust for mainstream users. So if you look at other open source cultures, you actually see developers ridiculing mainstream people because they're, you know, they're not tech geeks and they just don't understand that culture. And so I think it's going to really require a cultural shift in other open source projects for them to tackle the mainstream like we have.
It seems part of the community thinks that something fundamentally changed with Mozilla creating a corporation. Do you think that Mozilla sort of changed in that process for good or bad? Or
I think that they changed in the process. I don't think they changed in terms of their structure. It's still wrapped, it's still owned by a nonprofit organization. So all the money coming in is still going right back into the project. And that's, you know, people are always going to have their own conspiracy theories, but that's just fact. It's wrapped in a nonprofit organization. Obviously, the company has changed now that it has tens of millions of dollars and is not relying on donations anymore. In some ways, it's changed for the better in that it now has more resources and a better division of labor, like I said earlier. And I think in some ways it's changed for the worse in the sense that now you have a lot of design by committee again, which was one of the reasons why we split off Firefox in the first place. So, I mean, to be honest, one of the reasons that I'm not really actively involved in Firefox anymore is because it's gotten so large, it's gotten more mature, but it's also gotten really much slower. It can't really innovate as fast and as quickly as it used to.
At the end of the interview, Blake talked about some of the aspects of open source that are truly innovative and beneficial.
Yeah, I don't really look at the open source model in terms of a business. I look at it really just in terms of a way to interact with a great community, and especially if you're if you're starting a company, it's a great way to find new talent, right? Because you don't have to have just a two-hour job interview with a whiteboard and some silly questions. You actually get to see how the candidate would behave and would perform if they were actually part of your team. So I think that's why Mozilla has been able to attract some great talent.
Do you see examples of open source techniques being used in other areas of production today? Or do you think like the software movement's kind of unto itself?
Well, I think we adapted it to marketing pretty nicely in terms of spread Firefox. I mean, that really was the intent. We looked at other open source projects and realized that they all kind of had this community of people who are not developers, not really testers either, but they still liked the product enough to sit around on message boards and talk about it all day. And it seemed like kind of a crime to us to waste, you know, the talents of hundreds of thousands of people who like your product and have a lot of free time. So Spread Firefox is really about trying to extend the idea of open source to include everybody. You know, you maybe you're a lawyer, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're a florist. Whoever you are, you know some people, you have some set of skills and talents, and there's got to be a way to put that to good use and involve you in the project.
Thank you for listening this week. We'll be back in 2 weeks with highlights from an interview with Camino developer Mike Pinkerton. In the meantime, please help us collect the history of Mozilla, both from the developer and user perspectives. Visit mozillamemory.org or email us at mozmem@gmail.com. That's mozmem@gmail.com. And become a part of history by contributing your story to the Mozilla Digital Memory Bank.